Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Some incredible bits of news coming in this morning, which is what you want on a news show. A Tchouaméni transfer request with a twist. Incredible, absolutely incredible. We've also got some interesting stuff coming out from The Athletic and some journalists that I will call client journalists backing the Glazers, backing Ineos, making excuses for them. What's that all about? What's going on with Emicha? What's going on with Alex Scott? What's going on with Santos? There is a load of stuff to go through this morning. And, you know, we're going to start off straight off with Fabrizio Romano's update. However, I do want to just throw this in from Scott Aiden, just to start to pretend in the live chat. He says, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I think Sander Berg would be a good signing for us. I'm not saying he's world class, but I think he can come and be a solid player for us. Scott, we're not fucking Everton. He's not even the best Berg in the midfield for bloody Norway either. He's not. The other Berg's better than him. Anyway, let's get into the show. We're going to start off with this Tchouaméni story. Now, you know my stance on this. And at the moment, it's a little bit like one voice singing in the darkness, which seems to be the case anyway in the creator space, in the journalistic space. Hardly anybody seems to want to call United out for being bad at what they're doing. There seems to be, you know, everybody is too busy clamping their lips to the Glazers' arse. But a lot of people talking about bid coming, first bid coming, big bid coming. Tchouaméni's all or nothing. Tchouaméni's they're trying to make it better, but they don't seem to know what's going on with Tchouaméni. It's not even that very difficult. It's not even difficult to find out. We've got all these people who, you know, take a pop at everybody else because their shit don't stink, and they are peddling this crap that we're close to signing Tchouaméni, that a bid's going to go in, that he's begging to come to United. It's just not true. It's not true at all. The truth of the matter is that when it comes to Tchouaméni and it comes to Manchester United, he is nowhere near signing for us. Absolutely not. And I think that when you look at how it's playing out at the moment, incredible update from Fabrizio Romano, where it basically says Man United view Tchouaméni as their dream world-class replacement for Casemiro due to his elite quality and mentality. However, two major issues remain: his high salary at Real Madrid, which would need negotiating down, and the lack of a green light from Madrid to negotiate a sale. United love the player, but must wait for Real's decision. Now, Fabrizio Romano is not my source on this, but my source on this is more close to the player side and the Madrid side. But Fabrizio Romano has been pretty well tapped in on Real Madrid news this summer. And we are to believe content creators, ITKs and British journalists who seem to be peddling some bullshit that United are sailing over to Madrid with a, you know, a load of cash to save Tchouaméni from the clutches of Jose Mourinho. It's like the bloody Spanish Armada. Well, you know, I'm half expecting, what's his name, Sir Francis Drake to turn up. It's a load of bollocks. It's an absolute load of shite. The truth of the matter is that when you listen to what Fabrizio is saying and you add it into what we've been talking about since Thursday, that this is off, any prospect of Tchouaméni is off, and then you add in what Romano said in the last 24 hours, we're basically asking Tchouaméni to take a pay cut. We're basically saying he's our dream target, but two major issues remain. One, his salary would need renegotiating because it's too high. And two, Madrid would actually need to sell. So I'm sort of sat here this morning in front of you good people, and I'm going, so we basically want Tchouaméni to put in a transfer request and take a pay cut to sign for Manchester United. Who do we think we are? Like, do we think we've just won the treble? Who do we think we are? I mean, I, as a United fan, would actually question the intelligence and decision-making of Tchouaméni if he went, I want to go to Man United, I'm putting a public transfer request in, and I'll take a pay cut to go there as well. You know, what else do we want him to do? Cut the grass at Old Trafford? You know, I just, and look, this is coming in from Credible. This is coming in from Fabrizio. This is like, again, the update is his wages are too much. He's on 210 grand a week. We pay Mason Mount 250 to sit on his arse and model kits. But Tchouaméni, a starter for France, a starter for Real Madrid, one of the best holding midfielders in the world. We want him to take a pay cut from 210 grand a week. So look, you can get excited. You can start thinking he's signing for Manchester United. And maybe there is a scenario where it does happen. But it ain't close. It ain't a prospect. And to be honest with you, it's Man United again. Almost. And you've got to question why they do it. Why do they actually do it? I know, you know what I think it is? And I think somebody said it last night. I think what United are doing is they're publicly burning every signing that you want so that psychologically, when they do buy a load of shit, you go, well, we've tried with everybody else. But when you actually analyse it, our trying with everybody else is just complete and utter cowardice because of money. You know, we tried for Mateus Fernandes. No, we lost to Spurs in a bidding war. We tried for Anderson. No, we didn't even bother. We tried for Tonali. No, we just didn't want to pay. Oh, we tried for Chumini, but his wages are too much. What do you mean his wages are too much? You asked him to take a pay cut to come to Manchester United. So I don't know who we think we are. I don't know what world we think we're operating in. But it seems to me United's transfer policy is we're going to operate under our own strange rules where it's almost... I wonder if Man United go to the agents of players and go, I know there's a real world... But have you ever heard of what's that shop called in the UK where everyone goes and plays with their little figures? Is it Warhammer or something like that? Have you ever heard of Warhammer? Well, you know, it's like an alternative reality, right? And that's what we're doing. We live in an alternative reality to the rest of football, right? And this is our rule book, and we're going to send it you. Read it, because that's the world you need to operate in now. Don't listen to the real world. We've got our own world, right? And in the real world, Mateus Fernandes is £85 million. But in our world, he's 60. In the real world, Chumini, you're on 210 grand a world, 210 grand a week. In our world, you're not worth anything more than 150. And it's almost like we're operating to our own rule book. And we're expecting everybody else to swallow it. And I would be saying, well, I'll say it now. We haven't been near a league title in 13 years. Not been near one, right? Nowhere near it, right? We haven't played good football in 13 years. And I, you know what? I'll die on this hill. I've said this before. I can't remember United playing 10 good games in the last 13 years, let alone three in a row. We just don't play good football. It's a 50-50 if we're going to qualify for the Champions League over the last decade, factually. We have shit owners who've pumped us into billions of debt. We sack managers on the regular. The club is completely and utterly chaotic. It needs a new stadium. I don't know what the grounds are to say you need to put a transfer request in and take a wage cut to come to Man United. I genuinely don't know what it is. I mean, maybe they get Gary Neville to do a video going, we're Manchester United. Because I just don't know what it is that makes Man United think that they can play off the name of United. They've destroyed the name of Man United. 13 years ago, you might be able to play on the name of Man United, but not now. And that's not our fault. That's the club's fault. You know, they've ruined the name of Man United to a point where you literally cannot go to a decent player like Chumini and say you need to put a transfer request in and take a pay cut to come to United. This is his last big contract as well. So, yeah, look, I would ignore every other update about Chumini, about bids and priorities, and United are going to go for him. And I would listen to what Romano said, because it backs up a lot of what we're hearing as well. The likelihood is that Chumini stays at Real Madrid. The likelihood is that he signs a new contract at Real Madrid. And the likelihood is that new contract is more money than what he's on now. How we're expecting him to put a transfer request in and take a pay cut is absolutely laughable. And it sort of does indicate the problems that we have at United at the moment. Let me know your thoughts. We'll also be talking about Scott as well in a moment, and Enmecha, an interesting update there. But there was something from The Athletic I wanted to talk about. It came in from, it was Andy Mitten, right? And look, freedom of conversation is absolutely fine. This is not abusive. This is not saying he's crap journalist or anything like that. Far from it. I thought the interview with Berardi was good.
But I do believe client journalism does exist around Manchester United. And I think client journalism is where, you know, sometimes you leave what's best for Manchester United Football Club and you peddle the line of what's good for the owners, who I think are bad for the calling out. So this is what Andy Mitten had to say about United fans and their growing frustration with the way the club is handling the summer transfer window. Now, remember, Andy Mitten sat down with Berarda only a few weeks ago, and it was Berarda who peddled a load of shit to Andy Mitten about winning the league. Now, maybe that should have been scrutinised more. Some people said Andy Mitten should have, you know, really gone in on that. You can't. I've done interviews with United. You can't. You can't do it because they won't do the interview. So even if Andy Mitten wanted to go, what are you talking about winning the league next year or the year after? It's never going to happen. You wouldn't be able to do that. Otherwise, they wouldn't do the interview. However, I think some of these people, you know, The Athletic, The Mail, The Manchester Evening News, they're so reliant on information from the club. They're so reliant on a question in a press conference. They're so reliant on an interview from a player that they're not proper journalists. They won't actually say what needs to be said because they're scared of losing, you know, their position in the club. It's the same with certain ex-players at Rio, who wants interviews with Bruno and people like that, and, you know, wants to be involved with their brand deals and stuff like that. These people know where their butter is, you know, their bread is buttered. Now, for someone like myself, I'm more than happy to talk to United, but on the principle of I'm not going to rim you, not rim anyone, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to kiss your ass and be nice about you to maintain some relationship where you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'm not going to do it. That's not the world I grew up in. I remember journalists around England and Man United when I was growing up who still had relationships with United but would say what they wanted to say, and United would respect that. We live in a world of propaganda now, and United need calling out more than any time in most people's lives. You know, we need those journalists of the 80s and 90s around Man United now desperately, and we don't have it. We just have client journalists who, in exchange for an interview, will glaze something that is damaging and sinking the club. So when Andy Mitten was asked about, you know, United fans' growing frustration with the way the club's handling the transfer window, I feel his reply was very much about maintaining a relationship with the club and defending a situation that is indefensible, in my opinion. But this is what he said, and it's all about opinion. He said, "I'm not saying fans shouldn't be frustrated, but there is still a long time to go in the window. But when you've seen the prime targets joining other clubs, it takes time, some getting used to, because United were the apex hunter for a long time. They were the club who could go out and pick the best players. You know, you'd go to Tottenham and get Berbatov or Carrick, and that's not happening now. And that's a pretty sobering reality. So Man United have got to grow slowly, and fans don't want United to grow slowly. United need two midfielders now for the Champions League. The facts are Man United know they need players, but there's a budget, probably 120 to 130 million. Do you blow that all on one player when you need three or four players? When ideally you'd move on a couple of players, one of whom you can't now move on because he's injured, and that's Ugarte. You've also got to keep the players who you've got. You don't want to be selling a Bruno Fernandes, and I've got no indication that he is moving on. So there's lots of moving parts here. People at the club are working very hard to get the deals done. Now, look, there's a, you know, that's not a complete and utter propaganda piece, but it is softening a bad situation. It is. You know, people at the club are working very hard to get the deals done, right? If there's a dog shit on your kitchen floor, and somebody comes in to clean it, and the mop they're using is a mop and bucket that's already got shit in it, and then they're mopping it up, they can work as hard as they want. They can work for 10 hours. Your kitchen floor is going to get shittier and stinkier, and it's not going to get clean. So working hard is not the same as working smart. I think we often hear this. I remember John Murta a few years ago. There was an article that came out. I can't remember who the journalist was. John Murta's working really hard. It was a shit summer transfer window, but John Murta's working really hard. He's working from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Now, it turns out he'd forgotten his password. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But look, working hard ain't good enough for Manchester United, right? Working hard ain't like, oh, don't worry, you've messed up the summer, but pat on the back, you've worked hard. This is Manchester United. It is elite. It is an elite football club. Working hard, I expect that. You know, if a player comes off the pitch and you sub them and you go, but I've been running around for ages, why have you subbed me? I'll be like, hold on a mate. Hold on a minute, mate. This ain't school sports day in 2026 where everybody gets a first prize for running. This is Manchester United Football Club. Working hard is a minimum. You were playing shit. You were running around like a headless chicken. Now, I'm sure your whoop says you've ran around and run more than Bruno, but he's done something. Now, shut up and get out of my face. So working hard to me is just an excuse. And I listen to what Andy says there and I'm like, people at the club are working really hard to get the deals done. Oh, that's okay then. No, it's not. It's not okay. As for the facts are Man United know they need players but have a budget that's probably around 120 to 130 million pounds. Again. I'm sorry. I've been moaning about us not buying Tonali and not buying Anderson and not buying Mateus Fernandez. Sorry, it was my fault. We've only got a budget of 130 million. Yeah, don't go and buy decent players then. Buy three or four shit players for 120 million pounds. I'm not having that either. Hold on a minute. Why should Man United fans go, well, we've only got a budget of 130 million pounds for the midfield? Why have we only got a budget of 130 million pounds? I'm pretty sure the last financials that came out was that we're doing a great job by overcharging fans for no football. I'm pretty sure Tottenham finished fourth from bottom, have just spent nearly 200 million pounds on two midfielders. Why is our budget so low? That's not an excuse. I don't have to put up with that at all. And the other one for me was, there's still a long time to go in the window. Yeah, but there's not though, is there? Because a transfer window and its success is not based upon how long is left in the window. You know, an all-you-can-eat buffet might be open from 6 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock at night. And it might be 8 o'clock when you walk in and you could go, well, there's plenty of time left, we can still eat. But that buffet might not replenish its food. So the people who were there at 6 and ate all the good stuff, that ain't coming back. So you can walk into that all-you-can-eat buffet at 8 o'clock with 2 hours before closing and go, oh, I don't know what people are panic about being hungry. You know, there's plenty of time till it closes. But if you put your hand up and say, yeah, there was loads of nice food here, but it's gone now because everybody's taken it and they're not going to replace it. Again, it doesn't matter how long is left in the transfer window if all the good players are gone. So I think there are too many people around Man United who peddle the shit of the club to undermine the fans and make us feel guilty. Why are they doing it? If they are fans of the club, why do they do it? And I think it's for their own benefit, for their own relationships, because what a decent journalist should be doing at the moment is absolutely rinsing the club for having 12 months to prepare for a summer transfer window, for knowing 6 months ago that Casemiro was going, for not spending in January so money was there to be spent, and only having Edison as we approach the 10th of July. Best in class. It's appalling. But we've still got people out there going, oh, and today on the podcast, let's talk about how there's loads of time left in the window and Man United are working really hard and they're working to a small budget and United fans just need to take a chill pill. Well, we're fans. You know, we're not corporate shills. We're fans. And we want to win. It's as simple as that. We'll come back to a little bit more of that, but I thought it was quite important to bring in. Let's go back to some transfer stuff. So also in The Athletic this morning, Man United are considered as a very good and meter update as well. Tchouaméni for me is off, by the way. As of now, I'm happy to say that deal is off and it's not happening. I am goading the club to do something, literally, because I know the situation and I know we're not doing that deal. So I would love some of that twat on the United stand. I'm absolutely fed up of him. He's rinsing us. He's absolutely rinsing us. He can't miss. He's absolutely rinsed us this morning on absolutely everything. We're trying to get our client journalists to calm it down and he's just absolutely destroyed us. Right, I'll tell you how we shut him up. Let's sign Tchouaméni. And I'll tell you what, I'll go live and go, lovely stuff. I'll love it if we go and sign Tchouaméni. But not Joe, surely says, I thought you didn't want to be an ITK. I don't want to be an ITK. I don't want to be an ITK, but we've been doing it for 10 years, mate. And like Alexis Sanchez all those years ago, sometimes we do get good information. I don't necessarily go searching for it. But don't listen to me. Listen to Fabrizio. I said this deal was off 4 days ago. Listen to what Fabrizio said last night. Madrid is not for sale, and he would have to take a pay cut to come to Manchester United. Now, if you think we're signing a player that's not for sale and would have to take a pay cut to come to United, who wants to stay at Madrid, and we've walked away from deals that we don't want to overpay on, the deal is off as of now. Unless we can goad the club into doing something they don't want to do. So the deal's off, right? Unless United go and spend big money and force Madrid to sell. So let's see what happens with that. Similarly, with Alex Scott, I do fear that we are a week on now. A week on. 7 days. Craig David. 7 days. 7 days on from the Fernandez deal collapsing. Mateus Fernandez deal collapsed a week ago. You know, it was here we go a week ago. What have we done in a week? Nothing. This ain't the last week of May. It's not the first week of June. We're now entering the second week of July and United have done nothing since being embarrassed by Spurs. All we're getting is Tchouaméni, which is a pipe dream, and now Alex Scott. So Man United are considering a move for Alex Scott, who has strong admirers inside the club. The Bournemouth midfielder remains one of the options being explored for United's midfield rebuild. What the hell are we doing considering a move on the 7th of July? If you've done your day to Dean and you're desperate to sign a midfielder and he's decent, what are you considering? What are we actually considering? Is anybody else thinking this? Like, what are we doing considering Alex Scott, the situation we're in? It's like being a bloke or a woman on the Titanic and the, you know, the Atlantic Ocean is on your toes and you feel it and going, that's bloody cold. I wouldn't want to be in there for very long. And in front of you, there's a lifeboat, right? And the guy is saying, I've got one space left. Take your chance. And you're like, let me have a think about this. And he goes, piss off, I'm off, right? What is there to consider about going for Alex Scott? If you don't, you're going to drown, you know? I don't know what we're considering. I don't know what we're considering, but we're working hard. We're working hard and there's a long time left in the window. Look, I think to be real, you could almost exchange United are considering going in for Alex Scott to Man United would like to sign Alex Scott, but do not have a bloody clue how to do it because Bournemouth don't want to sell and will want 80 million. And Man United are like, let's go to our rule book. Our rule book says 60 million and a cheap wage. I don't think that United at this moment in time know how to do an Alex Scott deal because unfortunately, and it was in The Athletic as well, I think it was Laurie Whitwell said, in relation to Mateus Fernandez, and this is quite important if I can find you this was quite interesting. This will not help us in the pursuit of anybody. So Laurie Whitwell said this, it was a shock to people at Man United that they didn't sign Mateus Fernandez. There was an expectation that he would sign for United. They were prepared to meet West Ham's demands of 85 million, but with add-ons. Tottenham guaranteed that fee up front and the wages obviously came in. It leaves a big question as to who will come in. And it felt like Fernandez was going to be the player after United weren't able to get Elliot Anderson. I feel like pressure is beginning to rise a little bit. So, you know, that's not us putting that out there. That's a journalist putting it out there that Man United were willing to pay £85 million, including add-ons for Mateus Fernandez. That's in the public arena. Sometimes information doesn't benefit the club. So if I'm Bournemouth or I'm Real Madrid or I'm Chelsea or any other club that we're looking to buy players for, I'm like, well, you were going to pay £85 million for Mateus Fernandez. We'll have that, thank you. So I think with Alex Scott, the problem is we'll already be sat there going, how do we not overpay? And you know what? It's a good, you know, as Andy Mitten said, there's plenty of time left in the window. Not really. Players are starting to come back for pre-season. The season starts in about 5 or 6 weeks. There's not that long left in the window and all the good players are starting to go. So prices go up. It's the Antony effect, isn't it? Effectively. Compost says it's a pathetic fan base enabling this. I don't really understand. I don't think it's a pathetic fan base. I think it's an incredible fan base, but I think we've just become desensitized to what's happened to the club. I would argue we've not been in a situation this bad before. It's an absolute joke, to be honest. Thanks everyone who's watching this morning, by the way. Please do share the video, get involved, of course. I'm going to get into some of your comments in a moment, but I want to give you the Enmetre update as well. There's still loads to get into. Plus, I mean, I feel a bit bad for Andy Mitten. He's, you know, but look, I like Andy Mitten in the sense that he says what he thinks. And when you say what you think, sometimes you can be scrutinised. I think he is a little bit overprotective of the club, if I'm being honest. I'd like to, you know, definitely a United fan, I'd like to see him openly talk about the damage that this ownership and board are doing to the club. But I understand relationships have to be maintained. Again, quite a pro thing about Andre Santos, which I think is laughable, but we'll come back to that in a moment. I want to talk about Enmetre. A little bit of positive around the World Cup as well. Dalot and Bruno out of the World Cup is probably a good thing for them because Portugal was shit. They were gone on holiday for 3 weeks and should be back in training with United by the end of the month. So especially with Bruno back, that's quite a positive thing. But look, in relation to Enmetre, I think this came in this morning. I think it was in The Athletic. Basically, price is a huge, huge issue. Man United have Enmetre on their list, but the price is going to be around 120 million euros. You know what? I'm not even shocked. I'm not even shocked. I think that many of you, like me, know football really, really well. And know from years of experience how the market's going to play out. And when Elliot Anderson goes for 116 million and Tonali goes for 92 and Mateus Fernandez goes for 85, you've got quite a range of midfielders there going for lots of money. You know, if you're Dortmund selling a midfielder or you're Newcastle or you're Chelsea, you're going to just go, well, we're going to get more money. It's probably the worst summer for Man United to be signing players and the worst summer for Man United not to be selling players. I mean, we're not very good at selling anyway, but at least if we had a player in the market, if we had a midfielder in the market that we didn't want anymore that we could sell, we'd do good money. The worst thing about a summer transfer window like this is if you're buying in it, you're going to overpay. But if you're not selling in it, you can't oversell. So it hurts you two ways. If you've got a player that's worth 40 million, but in this market, they're worth 60. And then the player you want to buy is 80, but in this market, they're 100. It's a 40 million outlay, isn't it? Because you get 60 million back, you spend 100. But for United, we don't have anyone to sell. So we're up paying on the signing players, but we've got no one to sell. So it hurts us. It does hurt us. But again, that's the incompetence of the club. I think in relation to Enmetre, I do like the player, but again, he's going to be very expensive. And I do struggle, like many of you. And, I'll leave this to later in the show on purpose. It's like a coffee and water chaser. A palate cleanser. I don't know where we're going next. I really don't know what we're going to do next. And I don't think the club know what it's going to do next. This would have been a really easy summer transfer window if we were ambitious. It would have been a piece of piss. The problem is it's a transfer window where prices are inflated, but that's the market and we don't want to pay them. And that becomes very difficult. It's like doing your Christmas shopping, but you don't want to spend any money. So your daughter might want a pair of AirPods. I'm not paying that. Your son might want a PS5. I'm not paying that. Your wife might want some Tiffany jewellery. I'm not paying that. And it becomes a problem. And then on Christmas Day morning, you disappoint everybody because you weren't willing to pay for them. You weren't willing to pay for the people that matter. So, you know, you have your principles, but you disappoint everybody. And this is the problem with life. Is you can set your principles, but not everyone's going to go, well, I understand them. We're going to end up very disappointed, very, very disappointed. So I don't know where we're going to pivot to. Obviously, Santos remains an option. This is what Romano had to say about Santos and Baleba. He said, Baleba would love to join Man United. In that sense, Baleba would love to, and personal terms wouldn't be a problem. United are aware of the player desire. He would be super keen on joining, but at the moment, United have not returned with an approach or a proposal to Brighton. I think this is really important to acknowledge that if United sign Belaiba, it is an absolute admission of failure. Because even the decent journalists are not saying that, you know, there's any talks, there's any prospects of talks. He's literally a player that was of interest that we might go back for. But if we go back in for him, how low down the list is he? So remember that with Belaiba. Maybe all roads lead to Belaiba, but remember, this is a player that Manchester United are not actively looking at and haven't looked at all summer. So if we do end up going there, by admission of every other bloody journalist out there, we're not in talks with him. We haven't gone for him. And we're not looking to at the moment. And I think that's very, very important. Loads of people in the chat are saying, I can't believe Man United think that Tchouaméni should take a pay cut. I mean, it's not as bad, but imagine like Haaland might leave Man City to come to United and we say, we will sign you, but you have to take a pay cut. I mean, it's just it's incredible arrogance. And, you know, it's well out, I mean, it's just another example of United's failure. In relation to Santos, this is what Romano had to say. And we haven't had a lot of big updates from the credible, you know, Romano and Ornstein in detail. He said, look, Santos is a possibility for Man United. Different profile of player. But we'll have to wait for the verdicts on the Edison medical. I think that's really important. All I'm saying is, let's see what happens with that Edison medical, because the Santos deal makes a lot of sense if Edison deal falls through. Signing Edison and Santos makes absolutely no sense. I have no information on this. I'm not, you know, scaremongering or anything like that. But I just sense that we do this for so many years, and I'm not even talking about United Stand. I'm talking about, you know, I was getting home from school at 9 and going on teletext looking at transfer news. You know, you consume this, you become very, very, very educated on football. I think that's why when we're watching a game with 20 minutes to go and, you know, a man gets sent off, you sort of percentage in your mind, you think, I know where this is going to go. I know what's how this game's going to go. I just think with Edison, those reports that came in were predominantly from Brazil, that the deal was going to fall through. Do they know something about Edison that he's going to fail the medical? Do they know something that there's something in Edison's makeup that might be a problem in a medical? And let me be very, very clear. If we buy a player that's just about to turn 27 with a medical issue, we're idiots. I mean, we never should have signed Mason Mount. But look, we'll have to wait and see. Romano said there has been contact with the Santos agent and there has been contact previously. He is a name that Favel really likes because he was at Chelsea when they brought him in. Chelsea are not yet receiving any bid from anybody. They would be willing to let him go if there's a good proposal. They're not desperate to sell him. And if the player end up staying, they're happy. But in the case of a big proposal, and it's not 20 or 30 million pounds, has to be way more than this, then eventually Chelsea could consider his exit. He could be one to watch in the next few weeks. And that, you know, sometimes you're better off getting the update from the best. And I think that's the best update we've had on Santos. This is not a deal that's going to happen today, tomorrow, or this, you know, next few weeks. This is a deal that's going to happen. Sorry, this is a deal that will happen in a few weeks' time. It's also a deal where Chelsea will absolutely have our pants down. This is not a £30 million deal. It's probably not a £40 million deal. It's more likely to be, you know, a £50, £60 million deal, which is scary. So look, Santos isn't one for the now, isn't going to be a quick deal, but is a player that United are considering. Just go back to what Andy Mitten said about Andre Santos as well. He said he's not perfect, but he's got Premier League experience. I think there's a feeling he's got a brilliant football brain. He'll be Brazil's next number six. He's an emerging talent, but he's not a settled talent. He's not an established talent, but then United need to sign players they can sell on. Oh, my God.
When does the journalist stop and the fan kick in? You know?
What the fuck? Like, what the fuck? United need to sign players who they can sell on. What? What? We're working hard. There's plenty left time left in the transfer window. The budget's small. They need to get quantity and they need to sign players who aren't ready that they can sell them on. I mean, I can't believe the words. I can't believe the words. He's not perfect. He's an emerging talent. He's not an established talent, but United need to sign players they can sell on. What? When? Why? How? When? What? What? Why do we need to play? When? What? Why do we need to buy players that we can sell on? When was that a thing? We're a business, not a football club. When are we going to get these people out of our football club? I'm not talking about Andy Mitten. He's a fan. I'm talking about the owners. What and why is that ever acceptable? Vocabulary around Man United. We need to buy players that we can sell on. No. No. I've never in my life as a United fan, and I guarantee if you ask Ricky or any fan that's been watching United in the 60s and 70s, we have never been a club that buys a player to sell on. Now, we're realistic. Sometimes, Ronaldo comes in, does really well. His dream is to play for Real Madrid. But when we bought him, he was never bought to be sold on. We didn't develop Beckham and Scholes to sell them on. We didn't break the British transfer record for Roy Keane to sell him on. We buy players to keep them here for the rest of their career, to help us win titles. I genuinely think that might have been a slip of the tongue by Andy Mitten, or it might be something that he's heard. But I genuinely think that's something they're trying to enter into the vocabulary of this football club. You know, we do need to buy players that we can sell on. Fucking hell. Well, what are we then? So if we buy Santos, which I don't think we should, and by some miracle he ends up being good, the end game is that we sell him for profit. Oh, well, great. You know, absolutely brilliant. So let's take a massive risk on a Chelsea player and give them good money for him in the hope that he does really well so then we can sell him for profit. I just don't get that at all. I think that's one of the scariest things that worries me, is that my conspiracy theory is that we don't want to win titles. We just want to finish fifth and milk the Champions League for the owner's benefit. But if we're now trying to buy players to sell on, then we're never going to be successful, are we? We're never going to be successful. As for Santos being Brazil's next number six, that might have been a good thing in the 90s. It certainly would have been a good thing in the 80s and the 70s. I don't think being Brazil's number six in 2026 is really that glamorous. You get to wear a nice kit in a club that was formerly a very good country, but Brazil's number six ain't really all that anymore. I don't think it is. I mean, you look at Brazil's midfield, we had Brazil's number six, and he wasn't really up to the Premier League anymore. So, you know, whether Andre Santos starts for Brazil or not now, that for me ain't that's not a game changer anyway. And the fact that he's not ready to go and that Chelsea would happily get rid of him. Look, at the end of the day, let's call it out for what it is. If we sign Santos, he's way down the list. How do you justify that? If he's our plan A, and United have been leaking since February that we only want Santos, fine. But this is a player that's, you know, literally popped up again in the last few days because we're desperate. We're desperate at the moment, aren't we? There is still a feeling that United are going to buy a marquee signing. It's just going to be very interesting to see who that's going to be. I've got to get into your comments. Just want to make sure I give you everything from this morning, because there's so much. Santos we've done. Belaba we've done. And Mitch's price we've done. Exits. Still nothing about Xerxes. Rashford's the most likely one. Ugarte's injured. Binda needs to go. Nothing on Xerxes at all. And look, I think Joshua Xerxes is actually a very good example of what's going wrong at Man United. A player that for 2 years has played under three managers and none of them have fancied him, a player that really should be gone by now, should have took the hint and should be gone, who is rolling back into Carrington, smiling with his boots under there because he's popular, having another chance. And I like Xerxes, and I think in Italy he's a decent player. But this is a problem, right? How many big clubs would give a player like that a third year? How many more chances are you going to give to a player that's a flop? Like, he's a flop and he shouldn't be here. And if he was at Man City or Arsenal or Liverpool, he'd be gone. But at United, we have this incredibly annoying attitude of retaining players that aren't good enough and then wondering why we're stuck in a cycle. It's not Xerxes' fault. He's on a good wage and he likes it at United. But someone at the club should have grown a pair and said, you're not good enough. You're for sale. Find yourself a move. Instead, he comes back for pre-season and we give him another chance. And there was a little bit of money we could have actually made there as well. Mason Mount's the same. Yeah, Mason Mount's the same. United keep briefing that he's not for sale. He's not for sale because nobody's bloody stupid enough to sign him. Let's get real. Let's get real. Right, let me get into some of your comments here because we have quite a few. Cameron Lane says, thanks for your super chat, Cameron. Any player is sellable as long as we don't tie them to contracts they are not worth. We are a football club and shouldn't be farming players for resale. Man United is meant to be the pinnacle of a player's career, says Alexander. Ray Carl Brown-Amori, hope you're doing well, your ledge. Another thing that worried me as well with the story is why we're on such a tight budget when we just made Champions League. I thought getting Champions League would make us better so we can attract players. You know what, Ray? I'd hazard a guess here, and I think it's a very strong, calculated guess. If United had missed out on Champions League football, I think we'd have spent more money by now. It's a recurring theme that when we qualify for the Champions League, it's almost like the club go, we'll have that profit, we'll use that. Instead of going, we'll use that to get better. But if we weren't in the Champions League, I think they'd be shitting themselves and they'd be spending money to try and get in it again. We've never shown any ambition when we're in the Champions League, which is why we very rarely stay in it more than 1 year. We're a feeder club then, says Ghost Zero. Ghost Zero also says, I'm sorry after all this happened in the window. I can't see United having a good enough window. We need Glinios, has already failed the fans this season. How many players do you think we actually sign now, says Ben? I mean, I'm absolutely convinced we'll still sign at least another four, two midfielders and two others. But quantity and quality shouldn't be exclusive. You need quality quantity. We can't. It's almost like we're peddling this. What do you want? Quality or quantity? Oh, well, I want both. Like every other decent club, I want quality and quantity. They're not mutually exclusive. So I think we will sign four players. The quality of those players at the moment may not be up to scratch. Chris Jackson says, I met a midfielder on Monday. I took him for a drink on Tuesday. We're outbid by Wednesday and on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. New stadium on Sunday, says Chris Jackson. I love that. Bit of Craig David. Dan says, question is, who will call the board out to their face in interviews? If no one asks and probes with the right questions, there is no comeback on them, says Dan. Yeah, but Dan, I've been in that situation, right? This is how it goes. You've got an interview with Jason Wilcox on Monday, right? Great. I'll be at Carrington at 8 o'clock. Brilliant. Can you send us the questions before? Well, I can do, but I actually like to ask a question and then probe. Yeah, you can't do that. Also, you know, the 10 questions that you've asked, we've got rid of 6 of them and replaced them with questions we'd like you to ask. Oh, come on. Well, it's either that or we'll give it to someone else. And that's how it works. So you're never going to get to probe a Wilcox or a Berarda or a Sir Jim Radcliffe because they're not going to put themselves in that situation. Now, other clubs, their CEO will walk into a press conference and answer questions. Other clubs, their director of football will walk into an interview unprompted and answer questions, but not at United because there's too much money at stake to get rumbled. If you go off script, mate, it's not live, so it will just get removed. Yeah, which is why they pre-record it so they can watch it back and edit and stuff like that. Nobody talk about this, but the Glazers' debt plus Ineos Stadium debt are going to destroy us, says Raz. Harrison says, how have we only got 130 million when we got 100 for the Champions League? Well, we have got a lot of debt, and we also owe hundreds of millions of pounds on previous transfers as well. Gukin says, I have never seen such stupidity from a club like Ineos. This is sad and embarrassing. No wonder they failed at Nice. We need to fight this incompetence. Look, I genuinely think it's always important to mention the last 20 years under the Glazers, because it's not been very good, and what Ineos have done to Nice. You know? Like, I know there's people out there that keep talking about trusting the process, but if there's a classified idiot that everybody knows is an idiot, and they come and get a job at your place and they behave like an idiot, would you go into a meeting and say, let's give another 2 years and trust the process? Or do you think that they're an idiot, you know? I think that's, you know, very interesting. What do you think about The Athletic saying that Man United are ready if Real Madrid want to sell Tchouaméni? Well, I think Man United were ready to buy Matheus Fernandes if West Ham wanted to sell him. But we were ready on our terms. I think Man United were ready to sell to buy Elliot Anderson if Forest were ready to sell him. But on our terms. I think there's a very big difference between saying United are ready to sign Tchouaméni if Real Madrid wanted to sell, and actually signing him. I mean, Man United were ready to sign Matheus Fernandes if West Ham were ready to sell, but we wouldn't meet the terms. So it's propaganda, isn't it? You know, Man United are ready to sign Erling Haaland if he says he wants to leave Man City, but we won't pay the wages and we won't pay the fee. So I think that's always going to be the problem. Yeah. Sorry, let me just catch up on these. There's a couple of other bits I want to talk about as well. Look, I think some people are starting to wake up. Fans, journalists, you know, ultimately, if you're a journalist, right, do you want to have a season like last season where you're twiddling your thumbs in the week trying to think of articles to write? Or do you want a season where you're travelling around Europe watching Man United play in the Champions League? Some journalists around Man United aren't even Man United fans, but you've still got job satisfaction. Like, you will get to go to Barcelona. You will get to go to Salzburg. You will get to go to Norway. Would you rather be doing that midweek or sat there going, well, let's write an article about Rashford? You know, these journalists will start to realise that as well, that last season, which was a horrible season, could become a regular thing. So they'll get frustrated with the club in the sense that, well, it's embarrassing the way you're behaving as well. So I think it will start to change, but it's a slow process. Morning, Mark. As a long life supporter, I'm disgusted about our window again. Just want to say it's my birthday. Keep up the good work. Can we get a hand? Happy birthday for Andrew McMaster then, please. Happy birthday, pal. Hope you're having a great day. Syndicate says 130 million, that could have gotten us Tchouaméni for around 70 and still over 40 and still left roughly 20 to 30 for another signing. Hard to understand the logic behind some of these decisions. Look, also just throwing something in that I think most of you already know. This got leaked years ago. At Man United, Joel Glazer has such a control over United that it almost got joked about that if you wanted to buy some more potatoes for the canteen, you had to email Joel Glazer. So although that's a joke, it's just an indication of how much has to go through him, and it slows everything down. We aren't able to replace Casemiro. I think replacing Bruno next summer without the Champions League and not overspending. Bigger thing is we aren't selling anyone too, says Amit. Dazzo says, if Ineos and the Glazers can't afford the players, sell the club. It's that simple. I'm not lowering my standards because they want to save. Well, and I think that's a great point, Dazzo. You know, when you hear Andy Mitten say that the budget's low and United, you know, need to buy players that they can sell, and, you know, United fans need to be patient. Well, hold on a minute. I think there's very few United fans that signed up for Ineos and the Glazers. I think most of us said, get out, Glazers, or take our chances with somebody else. So we don't have to put up with this. We don't have to put up with, well, we've got to tighten our belts accordingly. We don't have to put up with, well, we're not going to pay that. We don't have to put up with, well, you know, you need to be patient. We don't have to put up with it. Don't ever be guilt tripped by the propaganda and PR and spin about, you know, United fans are being unfair. If you wanted Ineos and the Glazers, which some of you did, then maybe you should be patient. Maybe you should put up with it. But the vast majority didn't want this. The vast majority didn't want this because they saw this happening. So, no, I don't sit here going, it's fine. There's plenty of time left in the window. It's fine to walk away from good players. It's fine to overpay on shit players. It's fine that we're going to build a stadium. And you know, I don't think it's fine. I didn't ask for this. I wanted, rightly or wrongly, and judge me on it, it's fine. I wanted the Glazers out and a multi-billionaire in who was going to spend money on the club. That's what I wanted. I didn't want a bandage over a Glazer mess and what we're seeing at the moment. I didn't want it. And I'm not going to be patient about it because I didn't want it. And life's short. And I don't want this. The transfer PR worries me even more about these owners' judgment. Carrick has done well and I want him to succeed, but this window exposes huge flaws in their decision processes, making me question Carrick's appointment even more, says Patrick. It's a great point, Patrick, because at the very core of what you're saying there is a very worrying message. Michael Carrick wasn't everybody's choice, but now that we've got him, we want him to do well. But he is a huge risk, and he's such a big risk, it gets forgotten in a window where we're not playing games. But Carrick is a massive risk, and he's inexperienced. And if he's going to have a chance, he needs better than everybody else. He needs better than Arteta. He needs better than Liverpool. He needs better than City. We're giving him worse than Spurs. If you've got a manager who's a big risk and you're giving him a worse window than Spurs, you're not giving him a chance. You're not. The way the club operates is really disrespectful to Bruno, says Marlowe. He's dedicated his career to United and his last chance at any success is wasted by the club's lack of ambition. I mean, I don't think for 1 minute that Bruno's going to go anywhere, by the way. I mean, I think Bruno should sit there. I mean, if I was Bruno Fernandes on holiday now, I'd be like, I'm 31. I think he's 31. Let me have a quick look. But anyway, he's 30, 31. You know, it's probably, possibly, he's 32 next month, actually. In September. So he's 31 years of age. He's about to turn 32. He may have played his last World Cup. You know, people talk about Ronaldo, but Bruno may have played his last World Cup. That was a wasted World Cup for Portugal. They absolutely wasted a very good team. He's then going to sit on a beach and go, is next season going to be another wasted season for me? Now, he probably should look at it and go, have I got any better options? But I don't think he does. But yeah, Bruno has been, you know, Bruno is a victim of this ownership as well, because we've never, ever given him a team that befits his talent. Syndicate says, I just wish this club would understand that winning games and titles is the best marketing brand storytelling they can do. Tchouaméni and players like that are entitled to their salary for a reason. Yeah, you pay what you get for. Absolutely, you pay what you get for. Muaz says, less experienced players will respect Carrick more and play better as a team. Experienced players won't respect him and will end up being worse. Are you a Glazer bot by any chance? So what you're basically saying is, if we buy cheap, inexperienced players, we'll be a better team because they'll respect Carrick more. What a load of shit. Come on. If you buy better players, we'll be a better team. That didn't work. Well, Casemiro was experienced. He was one of our best players last year. Bruno's experienced. He was one of our best players last year. Maguire's experienced. He was one of our best players next year. In fact, if you take those three players out of our team, we wouldn't have finished in the top three. Seth says, United's PR department deserves a raise. If we had moved quick before all the Tonali, Fernandes, Anderson saga, we would have been the one to inflate the price and we would have got the players in place. Harrison says, this Amazon documentary is going to be a shit show. And maybe we're keeping our signings back till the end of August so they can be in episode one. Rajaf says, as United fans, almost all of us are Ronaldo fans. I know you are, Mark. Incredibly sad to see him leave, but so thankful to see it happen. Yeah, very, very good message. Thank you. Sell on for a loss because we can't develop, says Keel. And 100% with you, Mark, says Ajith. Don't buy from Chelsea and hand them 50 million to buy our targets. And I dread hearing the word dreaming now. Dreams never meant to come true. Thank you very much for that. And I'm sick as hell today, Mark. Been watching all your content. Thanks for helping me through, says Callum. Well, I hope you get well soon, Callum. Rez says, I think we approached top managers in the summer, but no one took the job because of the board. So they spinned that they always wanted Carrick. I mean, that's a great point as well. Whether we did go for Enrique or Iriola or Nagelsmann or Tuchel or Ancelotti or any other top manager, you look at the way the window's gone. Why would you take the job? I mean, we've probably got the only manager that would put up with this. Can you imagine Amorim? Even if he'd stayed for the season, he wouldn't be here now, would he? You wouldn't put up with this summer transfer window if you were a decent coach. It's been an absolute shit show. And as cheap as Glinios is, I'm surprised we haven't gone for the more affordable options like Berg. Both would actually be decent signings. So Slazy. And Jamie says, when Radcliffe came in, he said, I want to put the Manchester back into United. Well, he's taken the soul out of the biggest club in England. Thank you, Jamie. I just think, look, there's a very easy way to assess this transfer window at the moment, right? In the top tier of players that we should be getting to help us in the Champions League and help Michael Carrick, you've got the likes of Anderson, Tonali, Tchouaméni. You've then got the second tier of midfielders, which are the likes of Fernandes, and Scott, and then you've got the bottom tier like Edison, which we did buy. Look at where we are now. We are considering deals for Santos, Sanderberg. We might go back in for Belaba. Whatever was up here, we're down here now. And you can justify it and you can make excuses as much as you like, but we started the summer off up here and we're now operating down here. Well, when that happens in life, that's a lowering of the standards. And we've literally done that. Visibly, we've done that. And I know United makes so many bad calls that it almost drowns you, that you forget how many bad calls we make because there's so many of them. But let's not forget, you know, we've lost two midfield targets to Tottenham. It's embarrassing where we are at the moment. It really is. Chris says, this reminds me of Mourinho's third season. I know, but it's Carrick's first. That's the thing that baffles me. This is Carrick's first summer transfer window. Technically, he's a new manager. And this is his first summer transfer window. It's got echoes of Moyes. Can anybody remember David Moyes' first one? It feels a little bit like that. It really does. Anyway, look, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. We are back at 2 o'clock. Loads of people getting involved, as always. Great to be back on the 10 o'clock show because I didn't do it yesterday, although I was up till 3 this morning watching the USA go out to Belgium. I'm just trying to think about the day ahead. So Argentina, Egypt's at 5 o'clock, isn't it? Which means Colombia, Switzerland's at 9. Oh, 8 o'clock. We'll be live at 8 o'clock then. We're back in the slot. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, we are back live tonight then. Well, I'm back live at 8 o'clock. We have got a 2 o'clock show for you as well. Spain, Portugal was yesterday, Randy. Don't worry, you missed it. It was crap. Portugal are out. Great show this morning. Lots to get our teeth into and think about during the day. If you're not watching live, leave your comments as well. I'll speak to you in a bit. Take care.